Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
この番組はジャパントップ10ナンバーワンの J-POP ポッドキャストです。このエピソードはニュースエピソードです。You're listening to Japan Top 10, the number one Japanese music podcast. You're listening to a news episode on Japan Top
10. Hello, welcome to episode 450, Japan Top 10 News, September and October, year 2022. This is your host, Tassie.
And this is Christine.
And let's get right into the news.
Actually, before we start, we have some announcements for you today. So if you are an indie band or artist that makes Japanese music and is looking to be featured on a podcast, reach out to our music director, Nola, by sending her an email at nola@jtop10.jp. That would be nola@jtop10.jp. And we may feature you on a future episode. See our website at jtop10.jp for more information.
Our second announcement. Have you ever thought of wanting to join in our team? Have you ever dreamt of being a co-host with me and Christine? Well, we are urgently looking for various staff members, including audio editors, content producers, and on-air hosts to join our podcast. Join the biggest and best Japanese music-based podcast out there. Check out our website at jtop10.jp/join for details.
Want to advertise on our podcast? Market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts and reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that will fit your company's budget. Find the full details at jtop10.jp.
Also, we have our annual listener survey that just came out. So if you would like to win a $100 USD gift card for a retailer of your choice, please, please, please take our 5-minute survey and also tell us what you think about our podcast, and you might be able to win that $100 gift card. See our site at jtop10.jp/survey for details. And also let us know how you guys feel about these episodes on the survey as well. October is the last month for all listeners to provide feedback on our podcast.
Yeah, we look forward to hearing what you think about what Tassie and I have been hosting for the last year. All right, and our last announcement of today. If you want to hear 3 times the amount of songs on this episode, join on Patreon Club at jtop10.jp/club, starting at just $1 a month, and support our podcast along with getting more music and insights to Japanese music culture.
Yay! So, we are not done with our announcements, and finally going to the real episode now, starting with topic one, and that is about headlines in Japan right now at the moment. Happy news for lots of tourists and students, because Japan has now officially opened its borders starting at October 11th, and will also open to individuals tourists for the first time after 2.5 years from strict COVID-19 regulations. During the visit of New York for the UN General Assembly on September 23rd, Prime Minister Fumio Kishida announced that the arrival cap of 50,000 would be abolished and Japan would allow visa-free independent tourism. People who want to come to Japan, tourists, will need to either be vaccinated 3 times or submit a negative COVID-19 test result ahead of travel. Visitors will not be tested for COVID-19 upon arrival. Kishida also announced a nationwide domestic travel program offering discounts for travel, theme parks, sporting events, and concerts up to 11,000 yen, which is around $77 USD, for one night stay at a hotel to help the tourism and entertainment sectors that have been hit hard by the pandemic. That's so good.
Yeah, finally. I feel like the number of times that we have, I feel like we've talked about this on the podcast constantly as well. It's just like, God, when can we next go to Japan? You know, because, I mean, whereas before, although Japan was slowly opening up their borders, but from, you know, having not just with the daily cap of arriving tourists, but the fact that you needed to get a package from a travel agency, you can't go just on your solo travel, which I don't know about other people, but whenever I go to Japan, I plan out my trip because there are different places that I want to go, and I prefer traveling alone in Japan, or I mean like with friends too, but probably not with a tour group. So even though, you know, Japan technically didn't have restricted borders before, but it wasn't as inviting, I guess, from my perspective. So yeah, I'm so thrilled to hear that finally Japan is opening their doors to individual tourists. And I think they're one of the last ones to remove travel restrictions, I want to say. Actually, no, I could very well have just made that up, because I think I want to say China still has heavy travel restrictions. But I say this because I was reading an article the other day, and I think it pointed out that, because I'm from Taiwan, so it pointed out that Taiwan and Japan both are starting to open their borders, and how long it's been since tourists have been able to travel to these countries. So
yeah, I wonder, like, you know, I wonder if there was a loophole with that situation of the regulations, because, you know, what if there was like you know, a permanent resident, like a foreign permanent resident, and their family member wanted to come. I wonder, like, because if they're coming, it's still considered to be kind of tourism, I guess. But like, would that person say like, oh, they're sponsoring that person, and so there's a loophole in that? Well, I don't know.
What you mean. Do you mean like family members of Japanese permanent residents / citizens who want to visit the country? That's interesting. I'm not very sure, but given Japanese policies, I wouldn't be surprised if they were barred from the borders, because I think, you know, obviously me also residing in Canada, during the pandemic, like even when the Canadian borders were shut to any foreign nationals, if you are a relative or like a blood relative of a permanent resident, you can still come to Canada, even when the restrictions were barring every, like, basically if you weren't a Canadian permanent resident or a Canadian citizen, you couldn't come, but your relatives do not fall under the foreigner section.
Interesting. Yeah, but you know, the one thing that I've notice on the internet, I don't know if you've seen it on Twitter or stuff like that, but a lot of like Japanese and foreign people living in Japan, they've made so much memes about the situation, because like they're calling it like, oh, like Commodore Perry opening making it like opening the borders of Japan, and it's just like, I started laughing so hard.
I mean, it's just been so long, you know, like it's insane, because I know that COVID-19 whenever we refer to COVID-19, it sounds like one chunk of time, but that's 2.5 years. And it's crazy how long I feel like the world has been. It wasn't completely on hold, but it's like a whole new kind of system. And personally, I'm just not used to thinking, you know, okay, so if I head back somewhere. I'm going to have to quarantine and blah, blah, blah. I was actually just talking to my mother the other day because I was thinking of heading back to visit her at some point. And I remember when she asked me in the summer whether I'd head back, I just said I don't have that. I don't have that much vacation days if we're going to count all the quarantine days. Like, you couldn't fly to anywhere as you like because you had to look at the policies for each country with respect to COVID-19. So that's definitely frustrating for people who like to travel like I do. But I'm really glad that Japan is reopening their borders and... You know, I'm obviously also thinking at, okay, so when would be my next trip?
Yeah, I'm like, my brain is like now like thinking like, oh, I can totally go to these places now, right? Yeah. But you know what? Luckily, because of this whole situation, okay, it's not really, okay, it's good and also bad, but good for tourists alike. The Japanese yen has apparently fallen.
Yeah,
for the first time.
So it's been making Japanese news as well as international news, but the Japanese yen has actually topped 145 yen against the dollar, the US dollar, in September, and this is for the first time in almost a quarter of a century, putting pressure on business owners to pass the rising costs of imports onto consumers. And the currency has depreciated nearly 20% this year as U.S. interest rates hike push the dollar higher. And the Bank of Japan has historically maintained a monetary easing policy. And under this policy, it provides low interest rate to make borrowing easier for residents. But there are critics that are saying that the yen will continue to weaken as long as the interest rates are kept low. And Japan primarily uses imported coal as their energy source, and a weakened yen just makes energy and food imports far more expensive. And the Japanese government bought the yen on September 22nd, and marking the first currency intervention since 1998 to try to curb the impact on consumers. But on the positive side, Japanese companies with global operations have been benefiting from higher profits, and as border restrictions are easing, like we just mentioned, like tourists will probably be able to take advantage of this weekend. So the time to go to Japan would be now.
Yeah. It's like, honestly, COVID-19 has made all these countries suffer with everything, like the cost of living is like now rising, but I don't know. It's like a bittersweet type of news that we're talking about because, like,
I know.
Wow, if I could go to Japan right now, it's gonna be so cheap, right? But then, yeah, people are suffering.
Right, and I guess also from a different perspective, it's probably harder for Japanese tourists to go abroad because to them, it's the other side of the story because Japanese yen is cheaper.
Hmm. But anywho, let's move to another topic. Happy news, actually. The Tokyo District Court ruled on September 30th, 2022, that denying visa status to an American in a same-sex marriage with a Japanese national is against the constitutional guarantee of equality under the law. Andrew Hai, who has been with his spouse Kohei for 18 years, had been rejected 5 times for the long-term residency and filed a lawsuit arguing that the rejection of his application infringed on his right to have a family, regardless of gender or race, under the Article 14, the Constitution. While same-sex marriages are not legally recognized in Japan, same-sex couples who marry abroad may be granted a designated activities visa as an alternative to a spousal visa, a catch-all visa that grants residency to a same-sex foreign spouse of another foreign working in Japan. This ruling marks the first case in which a spouse of a Japanese national has been granted long-term status. While the designated activities visas does not offer the fast-track permanent residency benefits of a spousal visa, this is a welcome ruling for LGBTQ+ foreigners seeking residency on the basis of marriage in Japan.
Oh, that's such an heartwarming news. I mean, we're definitely moving in a more open direction, and I think that's great. Like, I can't imagine, you know, with the case that was in this article being denied 5 times for a long-term residency, even though he's been with his spouse for 18 years.
I know. It's like, and by that time, it's like, if you've been living that long in Japan, you're pretty much like so well versed,
right,
in the culture and stuff like that. And it's like, man,
I know.
It's just really heart wrenching.
Yeah.
And like, and also like, you know, people who have to, who like foreigners who were born in Japan, they have to find a visa even though they've lived in Japan for so long,
right,
too. And they like was born and raised too. That's another story that we can probably touch bases maybe later on in other episodes. But like, yeah, there's a lot of like injustices in the whole trying to be a national in not in Japan, but in like other countries as well. So
yeah, I mean, I feel like it's always a tough subject, because what I've heard before is that it's easier to become a Japanese citizen than it is to obtain permanent residency. And I'm not quite sure what or why that may be. But yeah, it's always an interesting topic, because I know that in recent years, Japan has definitely sped up their permanent residency track. Like, I've heard of people, I think there are now... They're now permanent residency fast tracks, where if you score above a certain point, you'd be able to get permanent residency within a year, which I find insane.
Oh.
Because, you know, yeah, it used to be that you needed to be there for, I think, like 5 or 10 years. I want to say it's 10 years before you get permanent residency. Or, I mean, I think at that point you can apply for citizenship. I don't quite remember what it was.
From what I've read about the situation of that, I could be wrong, but it's like way easier for a person who has valuable sets of skills.
Oh yeah, exactly.
But, yeah.
It's like a special skilled worker type of track.
Yeah. Or if you're like a business owner,
right,
something like that.
But it's really funny though, because I literally went on that website just because I was curious, like how I would match up in terms of that fast track.
Uh-huh.
Like, literally, I scored enough points to be able to get in 1 year.
Oh damn!
Like, I think a lot of it has to do with. Also has to do with the field of work that I'm in, but also because I do speak Japanese and have like related certification. But I just remember this because I had just read the news that, oh, there's this like fast track program, and then I went on the Japanese website to try to calculate my points, and I was like, oh.
Well, if you do choose yourself to be in that route, I will come visit you in Japan.
In the back of my mind. And before we move on to our Wataku news, we have a song for you. It is One OK Rock's Vandalize, released on September 6, 2022.
Through the cracks, are those you killed?
1OK Rock, or 1OK Rock, is a Japanese rock band formed in Tokyo in 2005, comprised of members of Taka Moriuchi, Toru Yamashita, Ryota Kohama, and Tomo Kanki.
Vandalize is from their latest album, Luxury Disease, that released on September 9, 2022. The song is set to be featured as the ending theme to the upcoming video game Sonic Frontiers, scheduled to be released on November 8, 2022.
They are currently on their North American tour for Luxury Disease until the end of October and will perform at the 2022 Good Things Festival in Australia this upcoming December. Your girl's going to their concert.
Oh my God. I was just about to say, like, I don't know how I missed that 1OK Rock is it 1OK or 1OK Rock?
It's 1OK Rock because of Okurok, like a clock.
Oh,
yeah, that's the play on words.
Yeah, it's funny. I never know how to. Okay, 1OK Rock. I didn't realize they were in Montreal until I saw my friend's Instagram, and I was like, "What?
Oh no!
I know it was, and literally like." I don't know. I guess like when bands have North American tours, I don't know why. I just don't expect them to come to Montreal, even though they almost always do. And so when I saw the Instagram post, I was like, oh, this must be in Toronto. Like maybe my friend just, you know, traveled to a different city. And then obviously I went on the band's Instagram and they're like, thank you, Montreal, or something. And I'm like, oh my God, they were actually in Montreal. And I can't believe I missed their concert. So that was unfortunate, but I should have just been a bit more informed. But you said you were going.
Yeah, I'm going. They're coming to Los Angeles.
Okay.
October 20th. So literally next week.
Oh my God.
I'm going to be watching them. Yeah, it's going to be the second time I'm going to be watching them live. Last time I watched them was literally before the pandemic, actually. Yeah.
I think it's going to have to be, right?
Yes. But no worries. They usually come every year,
mm-hmm.
usually. So, like, you'll definitely see them again.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I feel like the pandemic has messed up my perception of how often artists tour. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if you think about it, before the pandemic, artists tour every year. But to me, I'm just, I don't know, I was so used to, I guess the pandemic has just really stuck in the idea of being under lockdown has just stayed with me. So I'm just like, oh, mm-hmm. I miss them this time. But
yeah.
If they come again in Montreal, I will be sure to go.
Yeah, I like, and the only reason why I knew that they were coming mm-hmm. is because I on Facebook I follow this group called Japanese concerts, tours, and tickets in North America. So they always have, like, when they have something on, I'm like, oh my god, I have to, like, jump on to, like, watch mm-hmm. something. And that's how I watched Katy Pamyu Pamyu when she came a few months ago, too. And I think, let's see who's coming soon.
Well, I mean, clearly I need to follow that group.
Yeah, you should. Let's see. I feel like there's something that's coming soon. Like, it'll be fun to talk about it for a bit. So there is, I don't know if you know them. I don't know them, but apparently there's going to be a show in Los Angeles, and there's going to be people who's coming, like Demon Dice, Takeru, and Burnout Syndromes.
Oh my god, I love Burnout Syndromes.
Yes, and they're coming. They're coming to LA, November 6th. So you still have time if you want to come.
Oh my god. God damn. If it weren't for my freaking business trips, I will book my ticket. That's crazy though. I mean, I think being in LA, there must be so many just foreign bands that visit there, because I feel like every time I see some kind of North American, like, you know, how I was saying, you know, I never really expect Montreal to be in the lineup, but I feel like LA will almost always be in the lineup for a Japanese band tour, because I think it's also closer in terms of the flight distance. It's because they fly from to me, like, the west, from the west of the country, right?
It's usually like LA and then definitely New York.
Yeah,
and then,
exactly.
But then for Canada, they usually go for Toronto, from what I see.
They do, too. Yeah. Toronto and, I mean, Montreal as well, because Montreal is pretty big in terms of the arts and music scene. But I would say it's definitely, in terms of schedules, I would expect to find Toronto schedules a lot more frequently when I look at these concert schedules than Montreal.
Well. Let's now talk about our second topic of today, and it is our otaku announcements. In gaming news, we have the long-awaited Pokemon Scarlet and Pokemon Violet continuing the Pokemon series to be released on November 18th, and Nintendo has revealed several new Pokemon, including Wigglet, a garden eel Pokemon that resembles Diglett, Ed Sheeran releasing a music video, Celestial, on September 29th, featuring Sheeran being aided by Pokemon in his daily life, and the track will be featured in the upcoming games.
I don't know why, but there's something about Ed Sheeran, to me, that fits Pokemon so well.
Really?
Like, I don't know why... I feel like the two just, I don't know, maybe because Ed Sheeran himself is a bit quirky, and that's kind of my take on Pokemon anyway. So yeah, I didn't realize that Ed Sheeran had released a music video with related to Pokemon, but now that I think about it, I was like, oh, you know, surprisingly, this could be a fit.
Okay, so your team Ed Sheeran. For me, I'm like, when his song came out, I was like, this is so weird. I don't get it.
Oh, really?
At all.
No, I mean, like, I've not heard this song. I'm purely basing this off of my impression of Ed Sheeran.
Like, I just never knew that Ed Sheeran was like a fan of Pokemon. So I was like, huh, this is the weirdest combo, but whatever, right? And like, this is not his first rodeo with Pokemon too. He
really
also released another song a couple months before that too, and yeah, in Target they were selling like vinyl albums of it.
Okay.
And I'm just like, okay, so when I first saw the vinyl album, it was like a neon Pikachu picture, right? And I was like, oh wait, this is cool, this is the first time I'm seeing a vinyl of Pokemon, right? I thought it was gonna be like soundtrack of like the games, or if not, like, you know, old opening songs of like the North American release of the anime and stuff like that. But it said Ed Sheeran, I was like, what? Ed Jiren, why? So I was just really shook by the situation.
I see. I mean, yeah, I don't think someone you would expect, but I think it's someone in hindsight. I'm like, oh, if you think about like the image or at least the impression that Ed Sheeran gives off to me, I'm like, maybe it's a fit. I haven't heard the song though, so I can't make any kind of commentary there, but definitely an interesting pairing, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. All right, and we also have Master Detective Archives Raincode, which is an upcoming adventure game that was announced on September 13, 2022, is set to release in the second quarter of 2023 on Nintendo Switch. And it features a rainy city lit by neon lights in which players act as a detective and is inspired by the films of Tim Burton, with the story, music, and character designs created by several key staff members of the Danganronpa series?
Oh, no. Danganronpa? Yeah, I think that's how you say it.
Danganronpa.
Yeah, that's it's a very like popular video game series.
Oh, I've never played it. I apologize. Evidently, I'm not a game with that kind
of. No worries. You don't have to talk about it.
I apologize if I offended any gamers out there, but the story, music, and character designs are created by a few key staff members of the Danganronpa series, and this is set to release next year in the second quarter. I mean, just from the synopsis, it sounds like a really interesting game. Like, I would be interested. And the idea that it's inspired by films of Tim Burton, I'm really interested to know what that experience looks like, just because I think for me, Tim Burton has a very distinct impression, and I'm interested to know whether this game mirrors that.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything about it, but I've been on a kick on playing games when I'm usually not much of a gamer myself, so mm-hmm. I'll probably check it out. And then let's go to our next game news. Happy news for those who love the Overwatch series. Overwatch 2 was released on October 4th. Unlike its predecessor, the multiplayer team-based first-person shooter focus on storytelling with its new story missions. Team sizes have been reduced from 6 to 5, and there are several new heroes such as Junker Queen, who wields a shotgun, a two-handed axe, Kiriko, a ninja healer who uses kunai and aided by a fox spirit, and Sojourn, a Canadian Overwatch officer. It offers a full cross-platform play, so you can play with your friends on the Nintendo Switch, PlayStation, Xbox, or the PC. Yeah, so I've never played the Overwatch series, but
I was about to apologize again for not having played the Overwatch series as well, but I've definitely heard of it though.
Yeah,
I also have friends who do play the game.
I think it's like a really happy like announcement for a lot of people, because Overwatch 1 came out, I believe, like 10 years already. So this is a long awaited update for a lot of people, from what I'm like relaying from my friends mm-hmm. who are saying about it. And of course the community is very, very strong, because you know, 10 years is a very long time to play an online game of sorts. So like, yeah, happy for you, Overwatch fans.
All right, and switching gears slightly to anime news, something I'm more familiar with. Spy Family returned for season 2 on October 1st, and the story features a spy named Lloyd who has to build a family to execute his mission, and is joined by a telepathic daughter, Anya, who has took the internet by storm since season mm-hmm. 1, and his assassin wife, Yoru. And season 2 is expected to cover the manga volumes from 4 to 6 of the series, and international fans can watch Spy Family on Crunchyroll.
I've seen the pics on Twitter, and I haven't jumped into the episodes yet, but I'm excited to.
I literally watched it on the day that it came out. What's funnier is I coordinated, I mean, this is a little tradition of mine and my British friend, but we always coordinate times when there are animes coming out and we'll watch them together.
Oh,
and so this is one of the series. On October 1st, literally both of us, we were just like, okay, so it's released on Crunchyroll at X time for me, X time for her, and we watched it together.
That's so cute though. I love that.
Yeah,
I love that.
It's
like
a great
find
pastime.
Friends. Find friends who wants to watch anime with you. Like,
yes, honestly. But honestly, I really like how season 2's opening, there's so much elements of autumn in it. And I don't know, I really like the seasonal aspect to it because autumn is one of my favorite seasons, and the colors and of course the I feel like the opening and ending theme songs are always for some of these really well anticipated works. It's always done so well, and yeah, I really like the opening theme and the ending theme.
Is it better than the first season, you think? Or
okay, that's a hard one. I think
okay.
So for opening theme, I want to say Official Higedanism still takes my heart, just because that song crept up on me. Like, it was insane. I literally enjoyed, not that I enjoy Kiyoki any less, but, you know, Mixed Nuts was just, it's been stuck in my head for the longest time. Still is, as a matter of fact. But I do really like the opening, I do still like the opening theme of season 2, but I really enjoy the ending theme, actually, for Spy Family season 2. It's actually by Yama.
Love that.
And this was not, I don't believe this was announced before, so it was a surprise after the first episode ended. Everyone's like, whoa, what, Yama? So yeah, for people who haven't listened, such as I'm guessing yourself, Tassie.
I haven't yet. I
recommend
like,
it.
Okay, well, like when Kigeki came out last season with Hoshino Gen, that was a surprise for me too. So maybe that's like a tradition right now, like, you know, the endings of like of Spy Family,
yeah, just,
is like
you just need
surprises.
That you just need that unexpected element, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for that. And our next news, I know a lot of people are very excited for it, which is the return of Bleach the anime. And after a 10-year hiatus, the Thousand Year Blood War arc is going to be airing on October 10th, which already passed already. So like, it already passed, but I know that a lot of people have been hyping it up. The anime features Scar by Tatsuya Kitani and Saihate by Sena Rin, produced by composer Hiroyuki Sawano. And the new season features a darker tone as Ichigo and his friends take on the army of vengeful Quincy, Shinigami's mortal enemies. Okay, I haven't watched anything for Bleach 2, but from what I've seen for the trailers months ago, the animation is, the quality is crazy.
Yeah, so
it's crazy.
I grew up with Bleach, and when they announced that they were going to do this, they were going to air this final arc, I remember just texting my brother. Both of us were like, what? Like, I mean, obviously this is what the series deserve, but we're both like, what? How?
Yeah, but you know, but it's good though, because you know, like during the time where it ended abruptly.
Yes.
The big three that was still in airing was still Naruto and One Piece.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I think Naruto was creeping up on its like on its climax for the whole series together. But you know, I like the approach of the 10-year hiatus thing. Of course, we know the ending for those who have like read the manga.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's like it's been 10 years and there's a lot of it's from what it looks like, there's a lot of love and care for mm-hmm. an animation this time, unlike how it is back in the day where
oh, yeah.
it's being cranked up a lot for like each week where the quality yeah. of the art is bad.
Right.
Not, I wish that it was the same case for Naruto and One Piece as well, because like the other day I also saw a an anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
It was a it was released by Studio Pierrot, which is the animation house that produces Naruto slash book. Yeah, Pierrot. Yeah, and it was they released a anniversary Naruto
mm-hmm.
music video for their 20th anniversary, and they reanimated a lot of the scenes
really?
That happened, and it's great. It's beautiful. So I wish like, yeah, I wish like there was like a little bit more like budget, and I get it, like it's hard to like crank good animation mm-hmm. weekly, but
yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I definitely hear you on the way that we expect of anime, that we expect animes to look and the way that they get presented and how that ties in with budget and so on and so forth. But yeah, I'm also actually pretty happy that they picked this back up because, you know, it's the ending that it deserves. And honestly, any kind of music composition with Hiroyuki Sano, to me, I'm just like, okay, I already know it's gonna be good. Like his music, I really like this composer. He did a lot of, he also composed a lot of the music for Shingeki no Kyojin, actually, for Attack on Titan.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, he's a pretty, I would say he's a pretty high profile composer now among people who watch anime. And I was really happy to hear that he would be the composer for these theme songs for the anime.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very interested to see what Bleach looks like in 2022. I have yet to watch it on Disney Plus, which, you know, surprisingly enough, Bleach is only
Disney Plus?
Bleach is only available on Disney Plus and Hulu, I believe.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I have yet to see it, but I'm excited.
I'm excited too. And also, Bleach is known to produce really good opening songs and ending songs, from what I remember.
Can confirm, yes. And yeah, I think I either heard Scar or Saihate. I'm trying to remember which one, but yeah, definitely also something to look out for. Yeah, and on the topic of highly anticipated anime, Chainsaw Man premiered on October 11th, and the story features Denji, a teenager boy who makes a deal with a devil named Pochita to transform parts of his body into chainsaws. And the manga actually won the title of the best shonen manga at the 2021 Shogakukan Manga Awards. And the anime is set to feature songs from Vondi, Aimer, Eve, and Maximum the Hormone. You know, when Chainsaw Man released their artists for their ending themes, I don't know if you're aware, but they have a different artist for the ending theme every single week. And they're all big name artists. And honestly, I was just like, what? What do you... Most of these artists can carry the theme song for one whole season, and you're changing them every single week. It's crazy. MAPPA is like going all out for Chainsaw Man.
I know. I'm excited to watch it because people have been like hyping it up for me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm usually a person who likes reading manga more than watching anime.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I was like, fine. I'll leave the manga by itself and I'll watch the anime. And I haven't watched it yet, but my Twitter is going crazy for the
really?
Stupid little dog Pochita. From what it's like, this orange little, like the body of like a French bulldog, but the face, its nose is like a chainsaw.
Mm-hmm.
And I just keep on seeing this little this little booger in my, like, in my Twitter. And I'm like, oh, I have to watch it soon. And, yeah, I need to follow the hype very, very, very soon for that.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I feel like we've seen advertisement for Chainsaw Man for how long now? I think we got the announcement that it's in production. I want to say a year and a half ago, but yeah. Again, I also haven't seen it yet, but definitely on my list to watch.
Okay, let's move on to our second song of today's episode, and that song is by Tatsuya Kitani. And the name of it is Thanatophobia.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. December 18th, 2021.
地上に誰かが線を引く瞬き幕を下ろす覚悟さえ時間がない瞬き。また太陽が沈むよ。エンドロールが終わっても号は消えない。いたずらに過ごした日々は帰らない。どんなゲスも微妙愛しいものだと思えてしまうだろう。そこのないコルタルの海辺座礁した顔のないボレー。 こぼれていく憎しみも苦しみも愛も喜びも日常の続きの永遠の蛇足に君は目を背けて忘れたふりをした。そこで待ち構えるニーラドミラリ。抜け落ちた何かに乾き揺れるだろう。塞がれていた地獄の口が開くことが泣きやんだら君はきっと泣けもしないぜ。琥珀に住まうラム氏も灰になった文明も時計盤の砂漠を行くキャラバンの中は。 喜びの愛した世界もこの街と誰も彼も死に向かう人々。踊れその喜び耐えられるまで恐れなげきながら受け入れればいい。人間の愛すべき隣人を忘れるようにという日の花を摘んで束ねたブーケを飾って塞がれていた地獄の口が開くことが泣き。
Tatsuya Kitani is a 26-year-old singer-songwriter from Tokyo, known for his alternative rock, funk, and R&B music. Inspired by Japanese and Western alternative rock, he began releasing his compositions using Vocaloid in 2014 before debuting in 2017. He has contributed supporting bass in compositions for other artists, such as Yorushika and After the Rain.
Tanatophobia, along with Rapport, were featured at an exhibition celebrating the 20th anniversary of Bleach in December 2021, and Scar was featured as the opening theme to this season's Bleach, Thousand Year Blood War. Kitani has listed Bleach author Tite Kubo as one of his favorite mangaka and is an avid manga collector with 500 to 600 tankobon.
While his solo music is dominated by funk and R&B, his previous band, Hitsuji no Mure wa Warawanai, took on more of an alternative rock style. Kitani will perform a small solo tour in Tokyo, Osaka, and Aichi in this October. I really like the intro to the song, personally. I think I like the guitar. I like the guitar phrasing. Admittedly, I'm not super familiar with his other songs, but obviously when Scar came out, I was like, oh, I should listen to this. And this may actually be the one that I heard, because I feel like I heard Scar and not Saihate from Bleach. So yeah, I actually enjoy his style. I also like the way that he sings. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how to put it, but just my personal opinion. I'm also really jealous of being a manga collector of 500 and 600 tankobon, because I also really like reading manga, and I'm just like, I wish.
If only, right? If only we had all the space in the world to collect everything.
God.
Man, I haven't heard of. I'm not familiar with Kitani at all, but I like the vibe of the song. And
yeah, right?
Yeah, totally will dive in more into his music.
Agree. All right, and moving on to our third topic of today, our music news. In number one, we have Travis Japan making his global debut. Johnny & Associates group Travis Japan has signed with Capitol Music Group, a part of Universal Music Group. Their debut single will release on October 28th, and they are the first Johnny's group to begin their careers on a global stage. The group moved to Los Angeles in March this year to study English and train with local choreographers and vocal coaches, and reached the semifinals of America's Got Talent. How did I miss that? I mean, I guess I don't follow America's Got Talent, but I'm shocked.
I didn't know they were on that show
right?
But I've heard of them because they went to Anime Expo this past year. And I saw them as a list of guests, but I didn't take the time to go see them because I'm not really into like Japanese boy bands so much.
Fair.
But our co-host Lydia was freaking out that it was a Johnny's group, and she loves Johnny, so she was like, oh, it would have been nice to see them and such, but
wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really surprised because, I don't know, it's very, you know, like the news just said, I don't know if I've even heard of a Johnny's group that began their career, like, that have set their careers on a global stage before. Like, most of them debut in Japan, and yeah, I'm surprised.
Yeah. Well, I've talked to this with Lydia multiple times, and also other people on the podcast, and I'm like, man, I'm just really, and also with you too, I'm just like really happy with like how, you know, Japanese music is finally getting what it deserves now.
Yes.
With the whole, you know, the internet helping out and stuff. So yeah, I'm happy that new groups can thrive, but I wish that older groups had the same chance. Well, they probably are having the same chance, because I feel like a lot of people are now like coming out from retirement now.
There's a new vogue going on with old groups.
Anyways, we're gonna move on to a topic that we've briefly talked about earlier with our anime news. Yama released her new song Chikisai, the ending theme of the second season of Spy Family, which debuted on October 3rd. She performed her new song on the same day during the Meaning of Life Tour 2022 at Zepp Osaka Bayside. And she also released her second album, Versus the Night, earlier this August. I haven't listened to it, so I'm excited.
I am glad that we pointed out I'm just awful at remembering titles sometimes. So when we were talking about it earlier with Spy Family, I was like, God, I wish I could remember what it was called. I'm glad that this is just in our music news, because yes, Shikisai, I personally really enjoy it, and I hope and think you will enjoy it too. But I feel like the music coupled with the animation of the ending theme is just really heartwarming, and I really like it.
Yeah, it's like one of those feel-good animes. Like the, yeah, of course,
for
like
sure.
The, of course, like the situation of it, it is like it's so out of the world type of situation. But like, you know, what matters most is the message, right? So
yes. Exactly. While we're still on the topic of Japanese artists getting the attention that they deserve, Ayumi Hamasaki celebrated her birthday on October 2nd with the announcement that she will be releasing her first original full album in 6 years, beginning with the single Mask, releasing on November 18th. And she will perform at Nagoya's Nippon Gaishi Hall on December 10th. After falling ill before she could perform in Nagoya during her tour last year, she indicated on Instagram that she was looking forward to meeting her fans again.
Miss Ayumi Hamasaki, one of the queens of J-pop, I feel like.
Yeah, no, honestly. And I think, you know, the fact that you've been hearing about her for, what, I want to say 20 years now, maybe?
Oh, totally.
Right?
Totally.
Like, it's insane.
She's been around since the 90s, I feel like,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so actually, it's this is me once again forgetting my age, or maybe attempting to forget my age. But yeah, so it's actually 30. 30 years. It's crazy.
I'm like very, very surprised with her career, because the girl went through a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And she lost part of her hearing, and she's still doing music and concerts annually. So I'm like, wow, that's like dedicated. But then again, it's like she's probably like loves music and is very addicted to her craft type of thing. So
sure.
I'm very interested, because I feel like she's a very like interesting character, but also like private too with her own self as well.
Right.
So yeah.
Agreed.
Would love to learn more about her.
I'm excited for her, and I'm excited for fans on this upcoming tour.
Yeah.
All right. And before we wrap up the music news section, just wanted to announce the top five album releases that came out in September 2022. In first, we have One Ok Rock, Luxury Disease, that came out on September 9th, 2022. And number two, we have Bish, Up to Me, released on September 21st. And number three, we have Sumika, 4, also released on September 21st. And number four, Fujikaze, Damn, released on September 30th, 2022. And number five, we have Creepy Nuts, Ensemble Play, that was released on September 7th.
Yeah, so make sure to listen to that, guys.
Yeah.
And then, now we're going to be jumping into our third song of today's episode. The song is by Ado. And the song is Shin Jidai, New Genesis, June 15th, 2022.
新時代はこの未来だ。世界中全部変えてしまえば、変えてしまえば。
Ado is a 19-year-old singer from Tokyo who made her debut in 2020 with Usewa, reaching number one on Billboard Japan's Hot 100, Oricon Digital Single Sales Chart, and the Oricon Streaming Chart. Shinjidai was featured as the theme song for the One Piece film Red, which released on August 6, 2022, and went on to become the 11th highest-grossing film of all time in Japan.Ado provides her singing voice to the character Uta in the film, and the track currently has the number one trending music video in Japan on YouTube and top Apple's Music Global Top 100 charts.
She will also perform her first national tour from December 22 to January 2023. Oh my god, I keep on... Me and Lydia like were raving about Ado last episode.Mm-hmm. She's so talented. Like,
she really is.
I don't understand how talented this girl is, and I'm so excited to watch her growth in the music scene.
Right? Like, she's only 19 years old.
Yeah.
And she's like breaking records, and mm-hmm. you know, she does. I don't know if you heard So she did two cover songs, actually. Sorry, like going away from Seeing to Die for just a second. But Otto actually recorded two cover songs on her YouTube channel. And one of them is Kami Poina. And the other one is, I think, Zai to Batsu. By originally sung by Shina Ringo. And if you listen to those two cover songs, she does crazy things with her voice control, and her vocals is just insane. And Shinji Dai, you know, obviously topping the charts. I think Apple's music chart at one point was just her full album. Like, literally, like, Shinji Dai. Because I remember her PR team posting about it on Twitter, and I was just like, this girl is insane.
She's been killing it since her first single that came out, Usewa. And Usewa came out, it was so controversial, but nobody could, because of the lyrics, but nobody could say anything bad about her singing, because nobody can sing. Okay, I can't say that nobody can sing the way she can sing, but her singing style is so refreshing, because it's a style that not many Japanese people release. And that's why she's such an interesting individual. And now that we know that she's very young, 19, she's gonna be one of the top people in Japanese music producing artists for many decades, I feel like, at this point.
No, I definitely see her as one of the artists that will, you know, continue to be relevant in the coming decades because of her style, because of her talent, because of how young she is, and also because of, you know, just, I think, the way that she produces music and the way that she takes her music. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what Otto will bring us in the coming years, but I... definitely one of my favorite female Japanese vocals.
Enough with our fangirling. We're gonna go move on to more seasonal news.
Yes.
Meaning that we're gonna be talking about festivals and holidays in Japan. The first one we're gonna be talking about is Respect for the Aged Day, Keiro no Hi, celebrated in September 19th, 2022. It is the Respect for the Aged Day, a national holiday in Japan to respect your elderly for their societal contributions over the years and to wish them a long life. On this day, young people will return home to visit their parents or grandparents, and some people volunteer in their local neighborhoods to distribute free bento boxes to their senior citizens. It is often televised in TV programs featuring Japan's oldest citizens. And since 1963, the Japanese government has given a silver sake cup to citizens who reach 100 years old. And the Japanese ministry reported this year that 90,526 citizens celebrated their 100th birthday, 89% of which are women. And the current oldest living person in Japan is Fusa Tatsumi, who is at a whopping 115 years old and is living in Osaka.
That's insane.
I know.
I feel like when you hear someone reach age 100, you're already like, wow. 115. I know it sounds like only 15 years from 100, but it's you have to consider that it's 15 years from being 100 years old. It's insane.
I know, and Japan's known to produce the most oldest living elderly people.
Yes.
In the world.
The world.
Yeah, so, man.
Even still, though, the fact that...
I know.
90,000 citizens celebrated their 100th birthday. What is this statistics?
I know. I know this is, we're steering out of this topic for a second, but, you know, I was, talking to this with my friend, you know, the recent death of Queen Elizabeth. She was alive till 98.
Yes.
And her mom, when she was still alive, lived to 105, I believe. And I'm what's up? Like, I wonder, like, I would love to, like, talk to, like, these individuals and see, like, you know, the different major events that happened during their lifetime. Like,
right.
I really want to know. But, like, but then again, like, what is Japan doing to keep their elders alive for this long? Like, is it the food? Is it, like...
Yeah.
I doubt it. It's, like...
I feel like it's some... It's a certain lifestyle, but... I totally hear you on that. And again, like steering away for just a second, but I was so surprised because obviously, you know, when Queen Elizabeth had passed away, we see a lot of photos of her life. And I remember seeing a photo of her dancing with Winston Churchill. And I was like, what? And I thought about it for a second and I was like, wait, of course, because she's 98 years old. But to me, it's like Winston Churchill is someone in my history textbook. But Queen Elizabeth, you know.
And it's the same thing with like, you know, the past Japanese emperor, not mm-hmm. the current one, too, because they were friends as well. And then the past Tai King that passed. And I'm like, wow, it's like, what are they doing? Like, what are they eating?
I know. No, it's insane. Because if you think about it, the 90,000 citizens that celebrated their 100th birthday this year, that means that they were born in 1912.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, 1922. I clearly live in 2012. I don't know what to say to myself. Anyways,
it's okay. It's
1922. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's like, I don't know. I can't grasp this idea. It's crazy. Japan needs to teach the rest of the world how they're doing this. But, and on the topic of seasonal news, we actually also recently had the equinox day, the Shubun no Hi, on September 23rd, 2002. So Shubun no Hi is a national holiday in Japan on which people tend to the graves of their ancestors and visit shrines and temples. It is also common to celebrate the cooler weather by eating ohagi, which is a mochi covered in azuki bean paste and named after bush clover, which is hagi, that blossoms in September. Shubun no Hi is associated with the Buddhist holiday Higan during spring and autumnal equinox, when field workers renewed their effort to Buddhism following the changes of seasons. Red spider lilies, or higanbana, signify the arrival of fall, and planting these flowers near graves is a way of paying respect to the dead. But since they're associated with death, it is a faux pas to give a bouquet of these flowers.
Man, I love Japanese autumn. It's so beautiful.
No, I think I really appreciate the way that that Japanese people, just how they treat seasons, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like in every other country, seasons is something that passes by you, mm-hmm. and you don't really... You know, you don't really do much to...
I agree.
Like, you don't celebrate it. You don't really take much notice of it. You're like, oh, okay, it's autumn. Oh, it's spring. Oh, it's winter. But, mm-hmm. you know, Japan actually... I feel like Japan has so many of these holidays. Well, not just holidays, but they're really living the four different seasons. And I love that about their culture.
Yeah, they, like... When I was still living there, they always... Like, I know this is like really like superficial, but like I really like how they treated their seasonality with like foods in particular. It was like there's always something to look forward to.
What are you talking about? There's nothing superficial about that.
I don't know because I don't want the listeners to think that I'm like a glutton or anything like that. But like it's great. It's like, for example, summer they have like wonderful peaches to look mm-hmm. forward to. I believe, of course.
I mean, there's also like vegetables. Like there's always like shun yasai and then like shun kaiseki. Like, you know, it's like a kaiseki meal based on the season. No, I love it.
Okay, and then let's talk about sports day, which happened 3 days ago. Yes, 3 days ago of this date, which is October 10th, 2022. Sports Day, or Sportsu no Hi, is a national holiday established in 1966 to enjoy sports and cultivate a healthy mind and body.
following the 1964 Tokyo Olympics. Last year, it was held on July 23rd for the opening ceremony of the 2020 Tokyo Olympics before being held again on its normal date of October 10th. Many schools choose to hold their undokai or field day to have a students get involved in physical events such as 100 meter relays, tug of war, three-legged race, and kibasen or chicken fight.
Yeah, I mean, sports no hi, I think it's so interesting that there is a national holiday dedicated to this, because I don't know if I can think of many other countries that have an equivalent.
No, in the States for me, and not in all schools, but my school, we had something similar, but it was always like, it was never like a designated like annual day. Like,
right, every, like it's not a national holiday.
Yeah, but know? It's like, but I feel like almost every school around the world has their own type of sports day.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, like I think field day is super common, but sports, you know, he's, the fact that it's a national holiday just shocks me, because I just can't think of many other countries with the same thing. And it's also really interesting because sports actually fell on Thanksgiving Day for Canada this year.
Oh.
And so I was just like, oh, okay. It's sports no hi in Japan, it's Thanksgiving here in Canada.
What I really like about sports no hi is, like, for elementary school students, they their parents come in to watch them play sports, and they have like bento waiting. Yeah. That's such a really cute memory for those kids, and I bet it's probably a very core memory for many children growing up in Japan as well.
Oh, I'm sure, you know, the parental aspect, because at least in the international schools that I grew up in, field day never really involved parents, and I mean, I don't really see why they would, but in Japan it's definitely, you know, a day where parents come to watch their child, and then they'll bring like obento, and they'll take pictures or videos of their child. I think it's very wholesome. Before we move on to our other news, we have another song for you, Porter by Sumika, released on September 21st, 2022.
Sumika is a four-piece rock band from Kanagawa. Porter is featured on their new album, Four, that released on September 21st, 2022, and is a collaboration song for Converse Camping Supply. The music video was filmed at Rewild Riverside Glamping Hill.
Sumika kicked off a national tour on September 23rd that will last until February 2023. I mean, I find it's funny because I didn't realize this song was a collaboration song for Converse Camping Supply, but now that I think about the music video, I'm like, oh, it all makes sense now.
It's a cute song.
Yeah, it is, and it's very... I find it really interesting. I don't know, like the song makes me feel a certain kind of hominess. Like, mm-hmm. I don't really even know if that's a word. But it makes me feel warm and, you know, I guess kind of like the feeling you get when you're crouched by a campfire. And yeah, and then obviously later when I realized, oh, it's a collaboration song for Converse Camping Supply, I'm like, this all makes sense now.
Yeah, I'm not much of a person who likes camping, but I'm watching the music video as we speak, and they're making camping look like I should go for camping. But like, okay, if it's for me, I'm like, if we're gonna go like straight on camping, no thank you, because I went through like some bad experiences through school. Not because like, oh, someone like bullied me or anything. I just didn't like the process of like lugging a lot of stuff to camping and stuff. But glamping, on the other hand, I've never tried, and it looks like it would be very good for someone who is not motivated to be that, how would I say, nitty gritty with camping. So
I feel like I've heard of people go both ways, like either they will not accept anything close to glamping because camping is your thing, or there are people who are like, no, camping's really not my thing, but glamping I can do. So you can try it out. Maybe glamping will be for you. All right, and now moving on to our other news. On September 26th, a 51-year-old newspaper delivery man, Yoshio Yoda, in Osaka, was in fact arrested for stealing the raincoats of 360 women. Yoda would follow women he saw riding bicycles or look for bicycles in parking lots with child seats or traditionally feminine colors, and would steal the raincoat if it is left in the basket.
Yikes.
Investigators found that he had been stealing raincoats since around 2009. With an average cost of 3,500 yen per coat, the damage of his crimes totaled 1.12 million yen. So that's $7,725 during 2013 alone. What? I'm very confused.
Well, it's silly. And can you just imagine going to jail and you're talking to your inmates and you're just like, yeah, I'm in jail because I stole raincoats.
Yeah, like,
it just sounds so wrong and weird at the same time. Like,
yeah, I mean, I just don't understand what on earth, like, what does that give you? I don't know. And I think the fact that he started stealing raincoats since around 2009, so it's been like 13 years? I have a lot of questions, but
yeah. But anywho, we have other fun news. Nintendo launches Nintendo Pictures. Nintendo Pictures is a new subsidiary that will focus on the development of visual content utilizing Nintendo IP. Before being acquired by Nintendo, the company was previously known as Dynamo Pictures, known for making CG for films, television, video games, commercials, pachinko, and events for works such as Yuri on Ice, Pikmin, and Metroid. Nintendo Pictures' first upcoming project is the Mario movie made by Illumination, and its first trailer debuted during New York Comic Con on October 6th.
I thought that was really interesting that Nintendo is branching out to a subsidiary, And I guess if you think about it, it makes sense because Nintendo, with the Nintendo Switch, they had a huge win. I think it still is the game console that sold, or like that most people have, that most people use. So I think it makes sense, you know, from a business strategic perspective to launch Nintendo Pictures, but I'm interested to see where this goes.
Yeah, it makes sense, and there's a lot of Nintendo game series that I feel like many people want to see it being featured in movies. Because we already have, like, Sega that came out with, you know, Sonic, and came out with two movies.
Yes.
We had Pokemon Detective Pikachu a few years back. That was also a very, like, popular kids movie. And then Mario, I'm kind of, like, I'm not really sure. Like, I'm happy that Mario, there's a movie for it. But the person who's voicing it is Chris Pratt. And I saw the trailer it already. There's nothing Mario-like. It's just like, hello, I'm Mario.
Oh, my God. I don't know what to say.
But the quality of the CGI is really nice, though. That's the only thing I will give to them. And I believe Jack Black is playing Bowser. And I listened to his portion of the trailer, and he did a really good job. It's not like the Jack Black we know most of, like, you know, his, like, crazy, hyper self. He's actually, like, playing a part of, you know, being sinister like Bowser. But, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'm just, like, hating on that it's Chris Pratt playing Mario, but we'll see. We'll see.
We will see, indeed. All right, and on our last song, we have Suzume by Radwimps featuring Toaka. And Suzume means sparrow. The song released on September 30th, 2022.
もしかしたら、それだけでこの心はできてる。もしかしたら、もしかしたら、君に気づいてと今もそう。
Red Wimps is a Japanese rock band from Kanagawa that's been active since 2003. Their original soundtrack, Suzume, will release on November 11th, 2022, to coincide with the theatrical release of the film Suzume no Tojimari by Makoto Shinkai, about a high school girl and mysterious young man who try to prevent a series of disasters across Japan.
The track Suzume is unusual in that does not feature Radwimps vocalist Yojiro Noda, but TikTok singer Toaka. To celebrate 70 years of diplomatic relations between Japan and India, the Japan Foundation is releasing the film Japan Film and Music Festival, The World of Radwimps and Makoto Shinkai, as a part of Japan Film Festival, celebrating their contributions to Shinkai animated films over these years, such as Your Name and Weathering With You.
Honestly, this song is so out of this world. Like, I'm talking about the atmosphere of the song, and that's very Shinkai Makoto to me.
I haven't watched the movie yet, but I'm like very excited. But same. I have a joke with my friends about Radwimps and Makoto mm-hmm. Shinkai, that it's Radwimps glorified music videos.
Oh my god. I mean, like, you're not wrong.
it works, you know? Like, yeah, when Your yeah. Name came out, I was still living in Japan. And we're like, me oh. and my friends were like watching it and are like, wow, this movie is beautiful. But man, this is like if you thought about it, it's like five songs of Radwimps that, like, five music videos.
Wow, I mean, I've never thought about it that way, but you put a new perspective in my mind.
Yeah, but I'm excited. It's like, what I really like about Makoto Shinkai movies, there's always a connection from the previous movie that he mm. produces.
Yes.
So I'm excited to see the connection this time.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, the animation also just looks otherworldly, like Makoto Shinkai's work before. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm excited as well. And I'm actually not sure, is this going to be released in North America? Asking because we're both currently residing in North America. I'm not sure.
I feel like they would, because that's what they did with Weathering With You.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll look out, and if I find anything, I'll let you know.
Do let me know. That would be great.
Yes. Anyways, before we end our episode, here is a little sneak preview. Andy and Connor will join together next week to speak all about the popular Japanese cars and cultural impacts it has made worldwide.
Wow, I mean, I'm excited to hear them talk about that. We'll be tuning in like the rest of the listeners.
Well, zooming out from this episode, this was your host, Tassie.
And this is Christine.
And we'll see you guys soon.
Yeah, see you next time. Bye.
Bye. Japan Top 10.